Hey everyone, Pastor Darren here with Pastor Mike for our Sunday sermon recap. Still walking through the book of Luke.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, not anymore. Yeah.
No, there's 65 other books.
Yeah, in that Bible. So I've heard.
So who knew? There's so many other books.
I mean, I didn't even know. I opened up my Bible and was like, wait, what is this? There's more?
So actually, we started a brand new series called Do Hard Things, which is going to be awesome. And can you share why this particular series was put on your heart to share?
Yeah, there was a couple things we wanted for our church in the new year. One was connected. We want that word connection. We want people to connect with one another and grow together in Christ. And then the second part of that is this idea of doing hard things, which really came out of a couple books I read back in 2023. One was called Do Hard Things, which is where we stole the name of the series from. And the other one was called The Comfort Crisis. And both books kind of had this common theme that the more comfortable we try to set up our lives, the more easier it is to disrupt our comfort, right? And so if we create this little bubble, this perfect little bubble of comfort, the easier it is for that bubble to be popped and discomfort to happen. And so I started thinking about that in terms of the Christian walk and the Christian faith, and in my own faith, how I can avoid the difficult things that Jesus asked me to do and press into only the comfort, and how maybe that might impact my relationship with God. You know, maybe if I expect the Christian walk to be comfortable and easy and set up my life to be comfortable in my walk with God, then when the hard things in life happen, which inevitably do, you get hit in the face with it, and it can destroy your faith. You know, it can really impact your faith. And so I want us to be at the river, believers who aren't afraid to press into the hard things that Jesus asked us to do, and be okay being uncomfortable in that sense, so that when life is hard and we are face hard things, we're unfazed, because you know we walk in those hard places, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of where the idea for the series was birthed out of.
And you'd mentioned, you know, it's our human nature to seek things that are comfortable, and the easier it is for our lives, the easier it is for us to be uncomfortable when we're thrown out of that routine.
Exactly.
And you mentioned your sleep.
You know,
you set up that dark room. You have your blankie.
My blankie, yeah, that's it, man.
And the ocean sounds.
That's it.
What's so funny about the ocean sounds is me and Mercedes, we got hooked on the rain sounds when Skylar was a baby. She slept in her bassinet. And we never went back. I mean, we've kept it. And if that turns off, like the power went out.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, what is that?
Yep.
It's nothing.
It's the same way, dude.
The strangest thing.
You the power goes out or something, and somehow that thing gets turned off, you wake up immediately. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, and so that was the analogy, and it's the truth, not the analogy, it's the truth, is that you set up the bedroom for comfort, got the right pillow, my right blanket, my right, you know, the noise machines, I want it pitch black. And in Mercedes, I heard her from the crowd, because I said, if that light comes under the door, and she was like, yep, yes, sir.
Yeah.
And that's it. I'm the same way. You know, if you got light from the living room coming under the door, it's waking me up. And I literally, we shut our door because if somebody walks past the door, their shadow cutting up would wake me up. As a teenager, I'm serious. I'm that light of a
sleep. So even you have a mask on and it's dark?
The mask, I was teasing about that, but I will sometimes, if Katie's got like gets up real early and I'm still trying to sleep, I got a mask in my side drawer, I'll pull out and throw on because she's turning on all the lights, you know. So yes, I know, make fun of me, whatever. But the point of that is I've curated this comfortable space, and the slightest disturbance throws that routine off. You know, we think we've set ourselves up for comfort, but the joke of it was my ancestors slept on a rock. And you think about that, is that that's how kind of soft we are. And I'm not like, we're soft. But that's the idea, is like, if I could get used to sleeping with the lights on the floor, you know, with, you know, all these, then nothing would really disturb my sleep. You know what I mean? The more comfortable I am with discomfort, the more comfortable I'll actually be.
Right.
And so, which is an interesting way to think about it. Mm-hmm. It's counterintuitive. And so, yeah, so that's kind of the idea behind this series, is the more comfortable we can become with the discomfort in our Christian walk, the more the more strong our Christian faith will be.
Yeah.
And so.
And I'm going to confess, I have a blankie as well.
You got a blankie?
Yeah, I do. And the more I set up my environment to be comfortable, the easier it is to disrupt and mess up.
Yep.
So to translate that to our Christian walk, this series helps us look at our Christian walk and what we're doing in our walk to avoid those hard things.
Yep, exactly.
And like you said on Sunday, we can look at the Bible and focus on the things that are easy and comfortable for us and avoid those things that are hard. You know, I'm going to skip those difficult passages and go straight to the ones that are all about blessing me.
Well, and not just the blessing me part, but you think about, I didn't use this Sunday, but like, you know, maybe you're somebody who's really good at being generous with your money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's it. Like tithing and stuff is easy for you, right? For whatever. It's not for most people, but maybe it is, but you're not really good at giving people grace, mm-hmm. right? Both things Jesus tells us to do. So what do? Well, I give my 10%, my 12%. I mean, I'm a very generous person, but then you don't think of having grace for others as something that you should care about. And so you become kind of a Pharisee in that sense. Like, this is what I'm good at. Well, we forget about the things that we're not good at. Or maybe you're somebody who's really good at giving others grace, but we're not faithful to God with our resources. Well, I give people grace. Well, what about your money? Well, you know, that's something I'm working on, you know?
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we do. But the idea is that we're fully formed disciples of Jesus, where God is working on all aspects of our lives. And so we don't want to compartmentalize and say, well, yeah, this is what I'm good at. Forget the rest. It's all a process of God working on all of our lives. And so we don't want to shut off one part just because it's difficult for me or difficult for you. And so we want to allow the Holy Spirit space to speak into every part of our lives. And so that's ultimately what this is about, you know, I think. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So it's easy and comfortable, but our life is easily disrupted when difficult things arise, like loving your enemies.
Yes, that was number one.
Loving your enemies.
That's it this week.
The very first one.
I mean, you had to know. People before church, you know, Gerald at church was like, loving your enemies. Like, because, you know, that's one of the hard things. You just know that's going to be on the list, right?
But you came out swinging. I mean, with the
love your enemies. I mean, you know, why start easy, you know?
And we can have a wide range of enemies. Just to kind of backtrack and look at the scripture here, the scripture says, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a wide range of enemies. It could be our coworkers, it could be bosses, ex-spouses, mm-hmm. your actual neighbors.
Your enemies. I know some people that are. That is, man. I'm blessed with good neighbors, but there's some people that they're neighbors, man. They're trying to take them out.
And you even mentioned families.
Yeah.
We'll bring back Cousin Bobby.
That's it.
You can have Cousin Bobby.
Well, and it's the, you know, I made the joke Sunday. You can you get to choose your friends. You can't choose your family.
Yeah.
Some, you know. Again, I'm blessed. I got good family, but not everybody does, you know? And
something you said on Sunday, one of the hardest things when it comes to our relationship with God is our relationship with people.
Yep.
Because people be people.
That's
my translation. What you said.
But I said it. That's great. Well, yeah. I mean, we said it, right? Loving people would be easy if it wasn't for the people.
If it wasn't for the people. And we're like God, just... like, take them out. And you reference David in the Psalms praying that God take out his enemies, mm-hmm. like destroy them. So this is not unique to just us. It's our nature.
Yeah.
It's just who we are.
Right.
And it's easier for them to be gone than to deal with them. So
mm-hmm.
we want to deal with those hard things. And Jesus tells us to do the hard thing, not to hate them, mm-hmm. but to love them.
Yeah.
Not only did he tell us to do this, but he actually modeled this.
Yeah.
And it was in some book. That we talked about.
That was it. Matthew, Luke, that one, yeah.
So how did he model that one?
Well, I mean, a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I mean, over and over, but the biggest way we talked about just a few weeks ago was as he's going to the cross and he's being crucified on the cross and he says, you know, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. And so he tells us, love our enemies. Well, then even as he's being killed on the cross, he's praying that his enemies, the people who are killing him, would benefit from the cross, that they would find, you know, Jesus goes to death on the cross to pay the punishment for our sins, and he's praying that those people who are killing him would benefit from that. They'd get the salvation that is made possible through his murder. That is, I don't know a definition of loving your enemies that's better than that. Yeah. You know, and made the statement Sunday. That doesn't really leave a lot of room for us to hate the guy who cut us off in traffic.
Right.
You know, like, you know, because what do we do is, the reason I brought that up is we go, well, my situation's unique.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, we all think that we're the most unique person in the world, and I'm the only man. I'm the only one that has that boss that's this way, or I'm the only one who's been hurt by that person that way, and we're not. You know, the truth is, if you live life long enough, there will be people who hurt you and hurt you deeply, and that is not unique to you or me. That is common to all man.
Mm-hmm.
And so, when Jesus says that, he's not saying love your enemies, except for you, Darren, because I know your enemies are worse than everybody else's. Mm-hmm. You know, or except for you, Mike, I know you got that one person that really hurt you. Like, no, it's a statement that's for all believers. You know, regardless, and that's hard. You know, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
And as you said on Sunday, this goes against our very nature. Our nature is to retaliate and get back at them.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said on Sunday, this is our culture. Our culture is not only doesn't believe this, they actually laugh at it. They think it's a joke.
Yeah, like they'd say that's a stupid idea. And I said Sunday, outside of the church, this is not taught. And if it is taught outside the church, they get it from Jesus. You know what I mean? That's where this idea comes from. And so, but our culture doesn't believe in this idea at all. It's really only found in the teachings of Jesus that you would love someone who hates you. And that's one way that Christianity is so unique to the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. But the very thing that makes this so hard is Jesus tells us why we should do this.
Mm-hmm.
Going back, verse 43 says, "You have heard that it is said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." And verse 45, "So that you may be children of the Father in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." Can you elaborate on being children of the Father and why we should do this?
Yeah, so, you know, the idea is, like you were saying, our oftentimes our reasons for not doing it is we go, that's so counter. The reason why it's hard is because it goes against my nature,
mm-hmm.
right? It goes against human nature to love someone who hurt you, or really harder for me and probably for you too, Darren, is to love someone who's hurt your family.
Yeah.
Like if you hurt me, I don't really care that much typically, but if you hurt my kids or you hurt my wife, like, you know, you're dead to me kind of, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is the way is our human nature. But that's kind of the point is what Jesus is saying is that, you know, to be like your Father in heaven is the idea is that this goes against your nature because we can't do it in our nature. We need the like you were talking about this morning, we need the power of the Holy Spirit to help us, to enable us, because the call from Jesus is not to walk in our nature, it's to walk in the Holy Spirit. It's not to be led by my carnal nature, as the Bible calls it, but to be led by my new spiritual nature.
Because if we were left up to me, I wouldn't do it.
100%.
I wouldn't do it.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why this isn't an idea outside of the church, because this is Jesus and the Holy Spirit that's saying, do this, you know, be like your Father in heaven. And the idea there that we'd be children of our Father in heaven isn't Jesus is saying, do this because you're walking in your spiritual nature. Where does our spiritual nature come from? It's the DNA of our Father in heaven. That's mm-hmm. where we get it from. It's like my kids look like me, talk like me, you know, have traits that I have because they're my kids. They came from me, right? They have my DNA. And Jesus is saying, now don't walk by your carnal nature, walk by the Spirit, which comes from having the DNA, essentially, of your Heavenly Father.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's not saying do this to be saved. He's saying do this so you can be like Dad.
Yeah.
And that's what this is about. He's saying, so walk, it goes against your nature, exactly. But now you have a new nature. That new nature is in Christ. And so walk in that nature, you know, forgive, love, because you're a new creation in Christ. And now it's time to be like your Father in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's. So this idea of, well, doesn't go against my nature, of course it doesn't, you know, duh. But now walk in your new spiritual nature, you know, walk by the Spirit, you know. So that's the first part there.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you mentioned on Sunday also in reference to the scripture that Christians should be countercultural. What does that mean?
Yeah, well, we think, you know, so Jesus says, you know, he continues on. He says, well, if you love only those who love you, it makes you like all these people that you think are sinners, essentially. Mm-hmm. It makes you, and he says, how does that make you different than anybody else? Everybody loves people who loves them. He's like, so the call for me, to you, is to, again, be like your Father in heaven. He says, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. The idea is be countercultural. You know, yeah, if everybody does that, what difference does that make you? Or what, you know, you're not different than anybody else. And the idea is that cause that we as Christians would be different than the culture around us. And oftentimes we think of countercultural, meaning don't smoke, don't drink, don't cuss. And, you know, we debate that, whatever, but I don't really, that's not really what Jesus is talking about here, right? He's to be countercultural is to truly love someone who hates you. That's countercultural. Mm-hmm. That's what the call is there. And so, so we say, well, it's not my nature. Of course it's not. Walk by your spiritual nature now. It's countercultural. Exactly. You're supposed to be countercultural. Like, again, the reasons why this is hard are the reasons why we should do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So in verse 48, this last verse says, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. What does it mean to be perfect?
Well, in this context right here, he's talking about be like your heavenly Father.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to go too far in that because we're actually part of the series. We're going to talk about that idea of be perfect because that seems pretty hard. So we'll talk about what that means more in the series. So, yeah.
So the big question is not why do we do this? The big question is how.
Mm-hmm.
How do we do this? And the how is not a cookie cutter approach. There's not 3 points to loving your enemies.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
Like you said, it's unique. Everyone's situations are unique.
Right.
So and nuanced. So you can't just say, right. Do 1, 2, 3 and you're good to go.
Exactly. If only it were that easy.
Yeah. But there's a mind shift.
Mm-hmm.
We have to work through and those nuances and understanding mm-hmm. how to actually love and understanding that love is not conditional.
Right.
Can you elaborate on that? Not conditional. And you actually use contractual as well.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah. So, yeah, like you said, I don't think there's not a 3-step process to help love your enemies. But I do think that if we shift the way that we think about a couple things, it can help us in our situation. Right. Then we can apply it. The first shift there, like you said, is that we have to change the way we view love. You know, mm-hmm. you say love your enemies and we go, how can I do that? They're awful to me. And well, that's not the point, right? Because love is actually the way God calls us to love is unconditional. And so when we say I can't love my enemies because look what they've done to me, that reveals our view of love as conditional, meaning as long as you perform the way I want you to, I'll love you. As long as you act the way I want you to, I'll love you. And as long as, you know, people treat their kids, as long as my kids get straight A's, I'll let them know I love them. As long as they do this, I'll let them know, you know, I'll give them affection, you know, and we punish them by removing our love if they don't act the way that we want.
Mm-hmm.
And that, as we said Sunday, is not love. That's a contract.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, with the bank, I got a contract, you know, we're going to give you this amount of money as long as every month you pay us X amount of money and then we'll let you stay in your house, right?
Mm-hmm.
Until you pay it off. That's the same. That's essentially what we're doing with love. You know, hey, Darren, you know, as long as you act like I want, I'll love you. As long as you do what I want, I'll love you. You know, that's a contract. That's not actual love. And again, that makes that person's always walking on thin ice because as soon as they mess up or whatever, you're going to remove that approval. You're going to remove that love. And that's not love. That's a contract.
Yeah.
But unconditional love, the way that our Father in Heaven loves us, means it puts love back in our hands, meaning I can choose to love you no matter what you do, because love is not based on how you act. It's based on what I choose.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, the example is going to the cross, knowing that we're sinners, knowing that we're enemies of God, knowing all the bad things we've done. He went up in heaven and went, all right, Mike finally did the thing that I wanted him to do. Now I'm going to go die on the cross for him. Jesus, the Bible says, died for us while we were still sinners, meaning he loved us. And in his love for us, that drove him to go to the cross, not because of our actions earning his love finally. And so the way that God loves us is without condition. Now, that doesn't mean that he doesn't challenge us. It doesn't mean he doesn't transform us. It doesn't mean that, right, doesn't mean that he expects us as believers to act a certain way. But we don't act a certain way or do certain things in order to get him to love us.
Right.
He already loves us, yeah. Right? And so, so if we shift the way that we think about love, it enables us to love people better. It enables us to love even our enemies, because now whether or not we love them isn't based on how they act. It's based on what I choose.
Mm-hmm.
And that's empowering, right? Because that means I'm not waiting for them to perform the right way before I can go, okay, now I can love you, you enemy. It's like, no, it puts the power back in my hands.
Yeah.
That I can choose, you know, to love you. Even if you mess up, I'm choosing to love you. Even if you're a jerk to me, you know what? I love you. And what we said helps us do that is when we value the human soul.
Yeah.
You know, when we go, you know, how can I love someone who does that to me? Well, when I go, you know what? You know, Darren may have been an absolute jerk to me, you know, whatever, and whatever, but you know what? Darren has a soul. And so I'm going to choose to love him in spite of his actions because I know that the soul is deeper than my offense. Mm-hmm. What happened, you know, the value of the soul is deeper than my offense. And it doesn't mean that you enable that person. It doesn't mean that you approve of that person. It doesn't mean that you even allow that person to stay in your life, because there are times that we have to set up healthy boundaries, because if somebody's my enemy, that means they're probably trying to actively hurt me in some way. And so it's okay to remove yourself from that person, but that doesn't mean that now you want bad things for them or you act out of spite towards them, right? You still see that, you know what, I'm removing myself from you because it's not healthy for me to be around you, but I still love you and hope for good things for you. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to pray for you, because, and not like, well, I'm going to pray for you, but like, I'm going to pray for you because I want God to work in your life. I want, as Jesus is praying for his enemies, yes, they're killing him, but what his desire is reconciliation, healing, you know, and that would solve it, you know. And so that's what we want. I mean, yeah, maybe we got to remove ourselves and we can't be around that person. Or maybe if the boss is a jerk, you got to leave the job. Or maybe you got to, that coworker is, you know, whatever, they're cheating, stealing, lying. Maybe you got to tell on them, right? You still have to deal with it in the right way. But that doesn't mean that you're not kind. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that, even if they don't deserve your kindness, it doesn't mean that you don't still pray for them or hope good things for them or want reconciliation for them, right? And those two things stems out of those two things. Understanding that love is not conditional, meaning loving someone is our choice. It's not up to them, right? And then secondly,
and that's so true about it being freeing, because when you're angry at someone, you have to keep up that anger. Mm-hmm. You have to work at that anger. Yeah. Oh, here they come again.
Right.
And you start working up that emotion, whereas, here they come again. Yeah. You know, it's freeing.
It is.
It's so true.
Yeah, you're held captive by what they do.
Yeah.
You know, you're controlled by what they do. Versus saying, hey, you know, I know that you're a jerk. I know you're a jerk. And I know that you're not treating me right, but I'm going to love you anyway. And I know you're a soul and I still want good things for you. I mean, what do you do with that?
Yeah.
You know, like,
well, it's kind of like what we talked about today in our meeting on the book. What was that, the quote you had mentioned?
Yeah. I don't remember.
The one, how he handled the criticism.
It was, the guy was saying that he hadn't met his standard.
Yeah.
The guy, yeah. We had a staff meeting earlier, if you're listening, and we have a book we're walking through. And it was talking about, how do you address conflict when somebody hasn't maybe lived up to the standard of your team or what you're trying to do? And the idea was to talk to that person and basically say, hey, I know you didn't meet the standard here, but I know you can. So let me help you get there. And that's kind of, seeing that, this person might be my enemy, but man, I
want the best for you.
I want the best for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want reconciliation for them and healing. And you know, it's not always possible, reconciliation isn't always possible. Healing, you know, maybe they it never gets solved, but that doesn't mean that you can't love them. It doesn't mean you can't value their soul and want good things for them. And that's really what it comes down to. And because, like, you know, the thing we ended on Sunday was, you know, ultimately, if we have those mind shifts, it will enable us to love not just our enemies better, but everybody better.
Yeah.
You know, our spouses, our kids, our families, our church, you know, better. But ultimately the goal in this isn't to love our enemies, although that's part of it. The goal is to be like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what this is about. You know, he says, be so you can be children of your Father in heaven. And that's what we want to be. We want to be like Jesus.
Yes.
So
that's it. Good. Yeah. So like the title of the series, this is not an easy thing. This is a hard thing to do. And like you said, our culture is the complete opposite of this mindset. So in order to do the hard things, you have to know God. And in knowing God, you'll find freedom to love unconditionally and grow in the purpose and make a difference. All right, I want to encourage you to listen to this message a couple of times, because this is so counter to our culture and our nature. So let's be a church and a people not afraid to do the hard thing, so we can look more and more like our Father.
Amen.
God bless you, and we will see you next week.
Amen.